Good morning. Man, it's good to see everyone. Amen. So let's turn to Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew one more time. Maybe this year. And then we'll have Christmas messages and Christmas music and that sort of thing. And then the 19th is we'll be celebrating Christmas, even though it's on Saturday. We'll go celebrate the Sunday before on the 19th. And so that'll be a real blessing. So we'll pick up Matthew. We'll cover this, and we'll pick up Matthew again in January when that rolls back around. So Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. 14 through 17, chapter 9. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Know that we just come out of the Thanksgiving season. Lord, we just always want to be mindful to have that attitude of gratitude, to be thankful for the things that we have, the things that you've blessed us with, even if it's the small things, even during our trials and tribulations, that we still are able to thank you and be grateful, even in the rough and tough times, even in the times that we celebrate, be with our family, be with our church family, Lord, just walking in the woods by the riverside and the ocean, whatever we're doing, Lord, we just want to be mindful that we're just thankful and grateful to you. More than anything, we're just grateful for sending your son to be born during this Christmas season. So we're just blessed as we focus on that over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Lord, as always, like Gary said, Lord, we just pray for our foreign missionaries right now. We just pause for just a minute. And we just pray for our foreign missionaries all around the world, spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling the story of Jesus coming, being born, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, that's the good news of the gospel. The angel said, don't be afraid. So, Lord, just bless our missionaries, especially those foreign ones. And, Lord, help our military around the world. And Jesus, help me with this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. All right, so let's look at Matthew. Again, if you're visiting, we're studying and going through the book of Matthew, and we'll see how long we go and how long it takes us, but we're going to let the Lord guide us, let the Holy Spirit lead us as we study chapter by chapter, verse by verse. All right, so Matthew chapter 9, 14 through 17. So then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Everybody say amen? Amen. So I know that we've talked a lot over the last 2 or 3 weeks about following Jesus. And the last 2 or 3 weeks we've covered Jesus' points here about if we're really following Jesus, we'll make an attempt to try to reach the lost as a corporate body, as an individual. We will reject self-righteousness. And then there's one more this morning we're going to cover. So if you're taking notes, the point this morning in these scriptures is, Resist legalism. If you're taking notes, resist legalism. And these are the things that we're going to do if we're serious about following Jesus. I know I say this a lot, but I have to build this each time. Yes, we get saved, born again, become children of God, right? Holy Spirit comes in, lives inside of us, and we're going to heaven. But then after that, there's a very, very important part also about making the quality decision within our heart to follow Jesus. As we follow Jesus, these are the things that really Jesus has been talking about for the last month or two. Okay, and that's what we're talking about this morning. And one more thing that Jesus is pointing out to us is to resist legalism. Reject it. Be done with it. Don't fall for it. Now, let's look at verse 14. Some of John the Baptist's disciples. Okay, it points out here. Now remember, John the Baptist right now is, he's in prison, really. And John the Baptist's disciples are hanging around doing their thing. And they come to Jesus and ask, why does his disciples not fast like them and the Pharisees? Now, that really caught me off guard. I started studying this week because you think about them. This is John the Baptist's disciples. And when you read this and you really get into studying it, you realize that these guys really didn't know who they were really talking to. I mean, yeah, John the Baptist said Jesus is the Messiah and all that really cool stuff that goes on. But these guys really hadn't wrapped their head around who they are really talking to. This is Jesus, the Son of God. This is the great I am. This is the Alpha and the Omega, right? This is El Shaddai. I mean, this is Yahweh. This is God Almighty that they're talking to. And so if they really had really kind of got that deep in their heart, they would have never come to him with this kind of question. No, they wouldn't have. In other words, they were kind of comparing themselves, the Pharisees, to what Jesus and his followers were doing or not doing. So it's like Jesus probably just shook his head like, oh, okay, you know. That's the way I kind of look at it, you know. Now, we've studied, you know, earlier, a couple weeks ago, that Pharisees fasted 2 days. They fasted 2 days, and 2 days a week, and they encouraged all the other Jews to do the same thing. Now, in Luke chapter 18, verse 12, one of the Pharisees even said this. He says, I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. So, you know, they were very proud about this thing. And they also fasted during times of mourning and times of disaster. So they had a plan. Like I said before, John the Baptist was in prison at this time, so there's no doubt that these guys were probably praying, you know, and fasting for John, hopefully, to be released. They didn't know what was going to happen. So more than likely, that's what they were doing. Now, remember last week we talked about Matthew and Jesus going to Matthew's house and having dinner and hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. This is probably happening based on one of those usual fast days that was going on. That's more than likely what was happening there. So in verse 15a, everybody with me? I say that at work a lot. Are you with me? You know, and, it's a habit. 15a, Jesus answers them by saying this. This is what he said. How can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? Now let's stay right there for a minute, okay? This means while Jesus is on earth, he is really like the presence of the bridegroom at a wedding. This is a time to celebrate. This is the time to really be happy and joyful and to celebrate. And this is not a time to fast or to mourn or to be sad. Jesus then goes on to explain that there'll come a day when the bridegroom will be taken away. Yeah, in verse 15b, he says that the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them then they will fast. Okay? Jesus is basically saying, for 3 days, everybody say 3 days. For 3 days, while he is beaten and bruised and mocked and crucified, he died, he was buried in the grave, there will be sadness and there will be mourning, and they should be fasting. And that's the time they should be fasting and mourning and sadness. But here's the thing, guys. This sadness, this mourning, this sadness was wrapped in a loving blanket of hope. Of hope. The hope of his resurrection. Jesus told them very clearly and plainly that he would be punished and that he would be killed and that he would be raised on the third day. Amen? Matthew 16:21. Let me read this to you. Matthew 16:21. It says, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Amen. You guys, the bridegroom is no longer dead. He is alive. We, his children, are no longer separated from him. This gives me great joy in understanding and believing that. 1 Corinthians 15:20. 1 Corinthians 15:20. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who die in him. Write this scripture down. Romans 6:8-11. Romans 6:8-11. I'm going to read this. I want you to listen very carefully. Everybody ready? Romans 6:8-11. And since we died with Christ. Don't let that one go over your head. See, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. The old Dallas died on the cross with Jesus. All my sins were nailed to the cross with Jesus. My past, present, and future sins have been washed away. Let me go back to reading the Romans 6:8-9. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this. This is, I'm reading the scripture here. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. So you, talking about us, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and to be alive to God through Christ Jesus. We are alive. He is alive. We are alive. I will never die. And neither will you if you are a believer in Christ and born again Christian. You will never die. Your body may fall apart one day and rot and go in the grave, but that's not you. Your body's not you. You're a spirit. You're going to live forever. You have eternal life. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're not one day going to be saved or one day go to heaven. The Bible says you're a citizen of heaven now. We're just hanging out in this earth suit, as I like to call it. This is my earth suit. skin. Amen. Really get that one now. And Jesus goes on. He moves on in verse 16, and he makes a specific point. And stay with me on this, okay? This is a real specific point. It's very important to us following Christ and understanding who we are in Christ. Okay, Jesus keeps on. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, what does all that mean? You know, I've read that before in the Bible. What does all that mean? That's real kind of funky, you know. What does that really mean? And I'm going to break it down to you country ways. Okay? All right? After a piece of clothing has been washed and washed and washed and washed many, many times, it has shrunk to a point where it cannot shrink any further. It's at its breaking point. Can anyone over 50 years old relate to that statement? No? Yeah? No? Whew. Okay. If one tries to mend a shrunken piece of cloth with a new patch, remember, this cloth has been shrunken down as far as it can go. If they try to mend it with a new patch, the patch will eventually shrink and tear away from the shrunken cloth. Here it is. Ready? Because the shrunken cloth will have no give in it at all. You guys, the law, the old law, has no give in it at all. The old law has no give. It's black and white. It's do or die. That's it. You see, what Jesus is trying to get us to see here is that this means the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. You know, that's what gospel means, good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ cannot, everybody say cannot. It cannot be combined with the old religion of Judaism. Remember who Jesus is talking to at that time and who he's teaching and who he's trying to bring up to speed, as we say. But here's the kicker. And listen to this, because this may apply to some of us in here, including myself. You ready? Some of the people back then, they wanted to continue practicing just a few of the old rules and follow Jesus. See, but the old things that they tried to hang on to were things that were works-based. It was works-based. And they would still had this desire to want to do something to earn their righteousness. They still felt that I had to do something or be something in order to be okay with God. Maybe God's not mad at me if I do this and this and this. Maybe, you know. You see, they still felt like they needed to at least do a little something to make themselves feel a little bit better about earning their way. Being good enough. Maybe if they did a little bit of this, maybe if they did more of a little bit of that, that will make them feel better a little bit about themselves. Okay? That did not work. That will not work. That still doesn't work. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying in your heart, if it applies to you. Romans chapter 7, verse 6, says this. Listen closely. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released. Everybody say released. We have been released from the law so that we serve the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Everybody hear what Jesus is telling us today? Ephesians, we're all familiar with this. I looked it up in a little bit different version because I like this. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Here it goes, ready? God saved you by His grace when you placed your faith in Him. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us, not one of us, can boast about it. Everybody got it? Part two, real quick. Jesus, help me. Jesus continues by using another kind of strange analogy. Here we go. He says, new wine is not put into old wineskins because they will burst and the wine will be ruined. Okay? In Jesus' times, wine was not kept in glass bottles. It was basically kept in real airtight, real watertight, tanned goat skins. These goat skins have been tanned out and they called them wine skins. Now, here's another analogy. Ready? Old used wineskins have been stretched. They've been stretched as far as they can go without bursting by the gases produced by the fermentation of the new wine. Basically, the yeast eating the sugar, and the yeast releases it waste product. Seriously, that's how alcohol is made. Okay? New, unfermented wine, which is basically grape juice, new unfermented wine must be put in flexible new wineskins. Okay? So that it makes room enough for it to expand when the gases are released. You know? This is kind of like wearing your stretchy pants at your family's Thanksgiving dinner, right? No? That's my best one today, so sorry. That fell flat, Danny. I was looking forward to that one. Stupid joke. As Jesus said, if you put new wine into old wineskins, it'll burst and waste a good wine. So he sums it up like this right here. This is how he sums it up. And this is one of the most important parts, and I really want you to focus on this one and really get it. Get this in your heart deep down. Okay? New patches are for new cloth that can accommodate shrinking. And new wine is for new wineskins that can accommodate expansion. Shrinking, expanding. Shrinking, expanding. Jesus could not be fitted into their preconceived patterns and expectations. My heart aches to say this, but I know this will be so true in the counseling world. And those who try will find themselves suffering from spiritual confusion. You'll go back, and you'll go both forth. And you go back and forth. Back and forth. Trying to live by the law. Trying to do everything perfect. Trying to do everything you can to please God. Back and forth. And then you try your best to enjoy this new freedom in Christ. And you'll go back and forth. When that happens, you will experience anxiety and worry and fear and confusion. And the Bible's very clear. God is not the author of confusion. And most of the time, those folks never find peace of mind. They sing about it. talk about it in church. May even preach about it. But secretly, they don't have that peace of mind. And mainly because they're trying to live under the old law. They're trying their best to do right so they can please God and make Him okay. That never works. And it just still doesn't work. In other words, Jesus cannot and will not be placed in our little box of old traditions. Or He will not and cannot be placed in the new box of who we think He is or what He should be doing or any of that kind of stuff. That was the trap of the old people, the Pharisees and all those people. And like old wineskins, hear this, like old wineskins, the Pharisees and other Jewish leaders are too rigid and inflexible to accept Jesus and His teachings. You see, salvation by grace through faith would not fit into their old, stiff, legalistic system of works. They, and like many today, just cannot accept the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His amazing grace is just too simple and too easy for them. It's just got to take more. It just can't be that easy or simple. But I'm telling you, my friends, it's as easy and simple as Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for providing that gift for us. That gift that we are about to celebrate for the next 2 or 3 weeks. God has called you and He's called me. Accept His free gift today. And follow Him. Follow Jesus. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've talked about it. If you're serious about following Jesus, then you will have a desire or you will make an attempt, whatever that may be, to reach the lost. And you will reject self-righteousness. And you will resist legalism. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the folks that are here, just listening, hearing. Father, I just pray if there's one here this morning that may have been caught up in the legalism or caught up in works-based salvation, maybe they may have been tricked into the whole confusion of being saved and born again and thinking that they got to do right or be right or cross every T or dot every I. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, as we sing this song of invitation, if there's one that would like to come and just leave it at the altar and pray, it'll be open. Maybe there's one here that's never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you'd like to do that this morning, I'd be glad to pray with you. In Jesus' name, amen.